Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you again for your word. Thank you that your word is the truth, the absolute truth. And Father, we just thank you that that truth always brings freedom to us, Lord. And I thank you for the freedom that you've brought us into and the freedom that you've declared over us. And Lord, we just rejoice in that freedom tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Who knows? We have an enemy who's a perverter of all that is good. Let me ask that again. Who knows that we have an enemy who is a perverter of all that is good? But he also has no original ideas. And that's why he takes what is good, he counterfeits it, and then presents it back to you as something worthwhile, but really it has no longer any value for you. In fact, it can and it will get you into trouble. Come on, who knows? You might not have been the one who made the counterfeit note. But if you're the one that presents it, somebody wants to ask you some questions. It can get you into trouble. Come on. Hallelujah. I was thinking recently, over the last few days, about a friend of mine who's completely backslidden right now, I believe. But in the few years that we were together in church, you know, he'd go on for a while, and when he was good, he was really good, you know, the kind of person. But then he would just fall off into some addictive behavior of some sort. Smoke, and you'd pull up alongside him in the car, and you'd see the smoke coming out from under the paper, you know. The Daily Record was about to go up in fire, you know what I'm saying? Or drinking, or gambling, or just something like that, something crazy. You just think, what in the world is going on? Then one day, you know, he told me that his problem was that he had an addictive personality. Now, back then, I used to read the King James Version. So I shared a scripture with him in 1 Corinthians 16:15 in the King James Version. It says, "The household of Stephanas have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints." And I said to him, I said, "All you really need to do is just switch your addiction." And get addicted, like the household of Stephanas, to the ministry of the saints. That word there, addicted, in the New King James, it's translated devoted. But you know, in other translations, and actually, one of the meanings of that word is they have ordained themselves. Then they ask you, "Are you ordained?" "Yes, I have ordained myself." See what kind of reaction you get. Right? Then just throw them the scripture. The household of Stephanas ordained themselves to the ministry of the saints. So I said that, brother. I said, really, all you really need to do is change your addiction. You see, I used to wonder how New Age, witchy kind of people could talk about channeling spirits until I realized that every one of us was created with a channel that's designed to channel the Holy Spirit. The only reason they can channel other alien spirits is because they have a channel that was designed to channel the Holy Spirit. It's just that the devil has hijacked that channel with some people. He's turned the blessing into a curse, and he's turned life into death. So I started wondering about addiction and how, if it is possible to get addicted in a negative sense, then there must be a positive purpose for this that the devil has hijacked and perverted. So if that's the case, it can be redeemed, just like with Stephanas and his family, who became addicted to the ministry of the saints. And apparently there are four stages to the negative addictive cycle. Number one is fixation. Stage two is preparation. Stage three is compulsion. And stage four is shame and depression. But I want to tell you tonight, the first three, fixation, preparation and compulsion, needn't be negative, but it can in fact be positive. But who knows, sin is always the vehicle that the devil uses to take you where he wants you. And sin will always take you further than you are willing to go. Yeah. Will always make you stay longer than you are willing to stay. Will always make you pay more than you are willing to pay. That's just the nature of the beast. So we need to understand tonight that the devil is a professional, he's an expert, he's been at it for several thousand years, hijacking God's purpose, hijacking God's plan, perverting it, and then selling it back to you as something worthwhile, but really, it's of no value to you whatsoever. In fact, it can get you into trouble if you buy his lie. Because sin always causes you to fall short of God's glory, according to Romans chapter 3. Even though the Bible clearly says in Hebrews chapter 11 that there can be a temporary pleasure in sin. All sin has temporary pleasure attached to it, but it's very temporary. Who knows, the pleasure that God brings is never temporary. Word of God tells me that in His presence there is a fullness of joy, and at His right hand there are pleasures forevermore. They're not temporary pleasures. They're eternal pleasures. They're pleasures forevermore. So I believe, folks, and I'm putting it to you tonight, that we were designed to develop an addiction to what I like to call the cycle of blessing. Addiction to His manifest presence. I'm not ashamed tonight to tell you I need Him. Yeah. I need Him. Every moment of the day, I need Him. I need Him in my life. I cannot live without Him. That's the talk of an addict. I know that that word has very negative connotations, but only because the devil hijacked it. I tell you, that's the talk. I need Him. I can't live without Him. That's an addict talking. Are you addicted tonight? Hallelujah. Psalm 103, I call that the cycle of blessing, the first five verses there. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. All that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits, who forgives all my iniquities, who heals all my diseases, who delivers my life from destruction, who crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed as the eagles. And what does that cause? It causes me to continue to bless Him. And as I bless Him with all that's within me, all of His blessing flows into my life and it goes back to Him as blessing. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. We were designed to be addicted to that cycle of blessing, addicted to His manifest presence. So let's look at the addiction cycle for a moment. Number one stage of addiction, apparently, is fixation. And the addict starts to think about his addiction and his mind blocks out everything else and he quickly loses. I'm giving you the negative first. I'll tell you how the devil has hijacked this and how it works in people's lives. The addict starts thinking about his addiction. His mind blocks out everything else, and he quickly loses control. His brain has been hijacked. And then when thoughts leading to addictive behavior come into their mind, they replace... You see, it's important that you replace them immediately with other thoughts. That's what the world will tell you, how to deal with your negative addictions. But I want to tell you, the Bible says that we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds when we start thinking God's thoughts. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says this, looking unto Jesus, the author, the originator, and the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. And the Greek word there for looking is a word that signifies undivided attention. I tell you, you need to become fixated. Listen to what it says. It's the Greek word aphorao. It means undivided attention. It means looking away from all distractions in order to fix one's eyes upon one object. This is an addict. He starts to think about Jesus and everything else just pales into insignificance. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face and the things of this world will become strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. That's an addict talking. Hallelujah. Undivided attention, looking away from all distractions in order to fix one's gaze. To fix one's gaze. What's the first stage? Fixation. The world recognizes these stages of addiction. In order to fix one's gaze on one object, it's having eyes for no one else but Jesus. The Greek word is made up of two words, apo, meaning away from, and horao, meaning to see. Turning away from to see. Turning away from everything else to fix one's gaze upon one object. Hallelujah. The devil hijacked addiction. Turn it into a negative thing. But there's nothing negative in being fixated on Jesus. It's all positive. Hallelujah. Stage two is preparation. According to the world, those who think they know what they're talking about, and I'm sure they do in regards to these things, the addict's behavior follows a pattern that is highly predictable. Their excuse is, I need it or I deserve it. The sexual addict may look at a pornographic website, go to a strip club, browse in an adult bookstore, or cruise a red light district. The gambler may buy a copy of the racing newspaper or put money into his track account. The alcoholic might visit a favourite bar on his way to a party. He might hide a bottle just in case. And the addict begins to experience pleasure during the fixation and the preparation stages. So how does this fit for us? Well, in Matthew 18:20, Jesus said, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." When you know you need Jesus, you need to be where Jesus is. You start preparing. Glory to God. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, "Not forsaking the gathering or the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some." We begin to prepare. Glory to God. We need to be where He is. We need to be where He says He would be. We start preparing, glory to God. We become fixated and we begin to prepare to be where He said He would be. We get ourselves, because we know we need it. We need to be in church. Hallelujah. We need to be where the saints are gathered. We need to be where His manifest presence has been promised to. Come on. Any more addicts in this house tonight? I'm addicted to church. Blessed be the name of the Lord, because I'm addicted to Jesus. I was addicted to alcohol that took me into every bar in this town and got me barred from every last one of them. Apart from the county, if that was good. Now I'm addicted to Jesus. And I need to be in church because that's where Jesus is. I need to be in the bar because that's where the baby was. But I need to be in church now because that's where Jesus is. Good, isn't it? Stage three. I can't understand people who don't want to be there. I just know they're not addicts, obviously. And I bet they're proud of that fact. But they don't understand the deception that's working in their lives. The level of that deception. Stage three, stage one, fixation. Stage two, preparation. Stage three, compulsion. According to the world now, the attraction is so strong that the addict is forced to continue. He's in a trance-like state, like being on automatic pilot. No appeals to family, job, or moral values will stop him. He becomes euphoric, which means feeling intense excitement and happiness as he takes the drink, places the bet, experiences the sexual release, or the drug-induced high. Where's that fit in our experience? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. Paul said this, "The love of Christ compels us." There's a compulsion in our lives. It's called the love of Christ. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, Jesus says, "He who loves father or mother more than me." Who knows that when you start to prepare to get down to where the saints of God are gathered, every kind of thing will pull on you. Family will pull on you. Oh, you're not going out again, are you? Well, you know, just stay at home with us tonight. There's something good on the TV tonight. Will you not sit down with me and watch the football? What do you want to go down there for? Jesus said, anyone who loves father, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Compulsion. Doesn't matter what status you need to know. The best thing for your family is that you be in church. Yeah. The best thing for your family is that you spend time in the presence of God where the saints of God are gathered. That's the best thing that could ever happen for your family. And if at all possible, get them there with you. From the time Sarah was born, she was in church. From the time David was born, he was in church. From the time Ruth was born, she was in church. From the time Anna was born, we didn't wait a week. As soon as Katrina was out of hospital, the next Sunday, every one of them was in church. Bless God. And they were at every meeting. Sometimes we had five or six meetings a week, bless God. And they were there. They might be asleep under the chairs, but they were there. That was a blessing last night, seeing that wee fella asleep at the back of the town hall on a hard wooden floor. Sleeping the sleep of the righteous. Hallelujah. And the peace of God. What a racket was going on. But he was... man, he was... It just took me back. It took me back to my own children. Hallelujah. Stage four, stage one fixation, stage two preparation, stage three compulsion. Nothing wrong with any of these things in the life of a Christian in the life of an addict, someone who's addicted to the cycle of blessing, someone who's addicted to the presence of God, someone who's addicted to Jesus. Hallelujah. But that the devil's hijacked it, you see. And if you follow the devil's route, if you follow the devil's cycle of addiction, you end up in stage four, which is shame and depression. Shame is defined as being in a painful feeling of humiliation or distress caused by the consciousness of wrong or foolish behavior. Depression is a severe despondency and dejection, typically felt over a period of time and accompanied by feelings of hopelessness and inadequacy. That's the devil's trap. It'll always take you further, make you stay longer, make you pay more than you were ever willing to do. It's always more expensive than you planned. It says the depression is caused by his loss of self-control and the possible consequences. Fear begins to set in. Fear of loss. So I remember, folks, I tell you, I know from experience, I got to keep my attention on Jesus. I can put nothing, including family, before my relationship with him. My addiction to him is way more important than everything else. I remember when we first got married, and up to the time of getting married, you know, you're, all of your attention is on all the preparations, and just you've got eyes for one another, and sometimes you can take your eyes off Jesus a little bit. And we were together all the time, you know, just as long as we could be together, we were together every day for as long as we could. And then we got married, and we were together, we even worked together, we loved it, and we thought that was great, and it was fantastic, and we spent all the time together, and then I went off to a wedding on the mainland. Cousin's wedding, and Katrina stayed at home. Now you need to understand, I'd been delivered from alcohol, but I'd just taken my eyes off Jesus a little bit. There was a little bit of a vacuum there. I hit the ball. I went through that. I fell back into that mess, and I ended up in the place of stage four the next day in shame and depression. Thinking, when my wife finds out, my wife of 2 months, 3 months, maybe, no, 4 months, doesn't matter, but, well, 2 months like it was, finds out, just trying to do the arithmetic, long time ago, 27 years ago, when she finds out, it's going to be all over. That's the fear. That was the loss. That was that's what the devil had accomplished in my life. When she finds out, it'll be all over. I remember sitting in my mother's cousin's kitchen there and cry my eyes out, thinking, when she finds out she won't want anything to do with me anymore. I've blown it now. But see, I fell into the fixation, the preparation, the compulsion, back into the devil's mess, because I took my eyes off Jesus, because I didn't realize that my relationship with him, my addiction to him, was more important than my relationship with my wife, even my brand new wife. Thank God she's got forgiveness in her heart. I couldn't not tell her. I had to go home and tell her, and she forgave me, thank God. But that was where I found myself. Depression is caused by his loss of self-control and the possible consequences. And listen to what happens. To take away the pain of his depression, he begins the cycle again. So you need to understand, I went out to the wedding. The first day I got drunk. The second day I went to the wedding. So it wasn't just one day. First day I fell into that shame and depression, but then I began the cycle again. He tries to get rid of the low by getting high again. For some addicts, drugs, alcohol, sex, food, gambling, shopping, come on, retail therapy, folks, becomes a way to get through life's difficulties. And while most people can stop, addicts seem unable to stop. The addiction is a way to cope with life. People have said to me, Jesus is just a crutch. I said, well, if he is, I'll have two. I developed after that. I said, no, he's not a crutch. In fact, he allowed me to throw away all my crutches because he brought such healing into my life. I don't need any crutches anymore. Hallelujah. He's not my crutch. He's my healer. Hallelujah. He's my savior. He's my deliverer. He's my everything. I need him. Every breath that I take needs to return praise to him. Hallelujah. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. I breathe him in and I breathe him out. I breathe in his presence and I breathe out his testimony. Hallelujah. Come on. I breathe out his praise. So fixation, preparation, and compulsion are good for us. Hallelujah. They're not wrong, they're right. It's right. God had designed us to be addicted. God had designed us and created us to have an addiction. We were created for addiction. We were created to be addicts. But the true stage four for us is the cycle of blessing. It's not shame and depression that we end up in. It's honor, glory, and honor and joy. In Psalm 8 it says we were designed to be crowned with glory and honor. That means splendor. It means magnificence. It means beauty. That's what we were designed for. That's what happens in that. That's stage four for us. And it says in Isaiah chapter 61, glory has risen upon us. His glory. That means honor and power and wealth and authority and magnificence and fame. Not shame and depression anymore, folks, but power and wealth and authority and magnificence and fame and dignity and riches and excellency. Because in his presence there is a fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. It's the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. What does that do? What does that cause in us? It causes us to restore, to return blessing. Hallelujah. To keep the blessing flowing. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. I'll just have another drink of the blessing. Hallelujah. Come on. Do you know what I'm talking about? You were designed to be an addict. Addict's not negative for us. Addiction's not negative. Addiction is positive. You need to be an addict. You were created to be an addict. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Very often addicts will give up everything to pursue their addiction. Come on, I've seen it. Sell everything. Empty their house of furniture. Gambling addicts, atrocious addiction. Alcoholics. In fact, one old alcoholic down in Scalpby, after he got saved, he said, "You heard about Jesus turning the water into wine? Come to my house, I'll show you how he turned whiskey into furniture." Hallelujah. Glory to God. Psalm 42 verse 1 says, "As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God." That's an addict talking. Do you hear what I said? I said, that's an addict talking. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, Paul says, this is from the New Living Translation, "Yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ." That's the addict talking. That's the addict talking. That's a nice short message for you tonight, folks. Let me ask you a couple of questions as we finish. Just one question. Are you living in the addictive cycle of blessing? Are you addicted to his presence? Because if you're not, you jolly well should be. Because if you're not, that's what's missing in your life. Addiction's not a negative concept for you. Calling yourself an addict is not a negative confession. It's a very positive one. You need to run out tomorrow and tell everybody, "I'm an addict. I'm addicted to Jesus." Hallelujah. Blessed be the name. I'm addicted to the cycle of blessing. I'm addicted to his manifest presence. I cannot live without him. I cannot take a breath without him. I need him. I so desperately need him. Everything else comes second in my life. I'm willing to part with everything that I might know him, that I might have him in my life, at the very center of my life, at the very forefront of every decision. He's the one who helps and makes every decision so that I make a kingdom decision. Hallelujah. Fixation, preparation, and compulsion. They don't end in shame and depression for us. They end in glory and honor and joy and fulfillment and life the way God intended it to be lived. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. name. Bless the Lord. Come on, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Come on, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who heals, who forgives all my iniquities, who heals all my diseases, who redeems my life from destruction, who crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies my mouth with good things, so that my youth is renewed as the eagles. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. You ready to bless him? Ready to praise him? Let's go for it. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord.